Welcome to the Shadrick Sighting Podcast. I'm JP Shadrick. The Jaguars finished a three-game road trip this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down at Raymond James Stadium, and the so-called in-state rivalry is really no such thing. There is really no such thing in the NFL. The teams have only met in the regular season five times. The last time was back in 2011 when the Jags won 41-14 in Jacksonville. Both the Jags and Bucks have a 1-3 record, and they need this game to pick up some steam as the second quarter of the season gets underway. Only one guest on this week's podcast, but when Gene Deckerhoff is that guest, you don't need another. Gene has been the play-by-play voice of the Florida State Seminoles since 1979 and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers since the late 80s, and he's one of the best in the business. And with the Noles hosting Miami Saturday night in Tallahassee and the Bucks hosting the Jags the next afternoon, this football weekend will be hectic, but he wouldn't have it any other way. It's time to go behind enemy lines and visit with the voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a great man, Gene Deckerhoff. What's going on, Gene? How are you?
Well, it's football season. That means we're all pretty busy, and it's the best time of the year, to be honest with you. It's college games this Saturday are going to be huge. The pro games are always huge on Sundays. And then we got football Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
Total leather every night of the week. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I know I've broadcast Monday games. Obviously, Labor Day Mondays. Jameis Winston's debut was against Pittsburgh on Labor Day Monday. Obviously, the Bucs have played, although not on the schedule this year, Monday night football games. I've broadcast games on Thursday. Obviously, the NFL package is Thursday. Florida State and the ACC play Thursday night games. Last year in Louisville, a huge ACC East showdown on a Thursday night. And I broadcast Friday night games now. Florida State Boston College was a Friday night game. And then, obviously, Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, total leather about every day of the week.
Gene Deckerhoff with us. You've been doing the Bucks and the Seminoles together for, 25, 26 years now. You've been doing both at least.
Yeah, 27. I started Florida State football play-by-play in 1979, and then Tampa Bay Buccaneer football in 1989. So it's 37 Florida State seasons and 27 Tampa Bay Buccaneer seasons. So the last 27 years, weekends have been pretty hectic around this place.
And the biggest challenge of having those, do you ever get numbers, names mixed? How do you differentiate the two? How does that work?
Yeah, I try to step on my toe if I say Florida State this and that, and I'm doing a Sunday game, believe you me, and the same thing holds true on Saturday. I better not be saying fire them cannons at Doe Campbell State. But I guess it's just self. I don't know if it's discipline or what. Just lucky. But I've been able to avoid those critical miscues for the last 27 years, and I hope I can do it another 27. I don't think I'll be able to, but it'd be nice.
You still use the RV to get back and forth?
Yeah, Class B. We got a Winnebago ERA now. We've had road treks in the past. We got this one. It's diesel. And Ann and I, our home games start at 6:05 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And we head south to Raymond James Stadium 4 hours, 35 minutes later. I'm in the parking lot at Raymond James Stadium and got about an hour and a half before I have to do the scene setter at 12 noon. So, that's the way it's been. Knock on wood and safe travels, you know.
Gene, let's get to the game, the Jaguars and the Bucks. A good young quarterback matchup this week. You always like those. Blake Bortles in his second year coming out of UCF, new offense for him. Of course, you know Jameis Winston well. His rookie season in Tampa Bay has been hot but a little more cold lately with the four picks last week. This is fun, these kind of quarterback matchups.
Well, you know, when you got two highly thought of and highly drafted quarterbacks, so they're both very young, both came out of college a year early, and Blake Bortles took the slings and arrows, an outrageous fortune, what goes with the job as a rookie quarterback of the National Football League. I don't know if he was sacked all 71 times, but that's way too many times to get hit and floppered. And, oh, by the way, Jameis is working on a number like that, too, offensive line featuring two rookie offensive linemen. Starting left tackle is a rookie, and the starting right guard is a rookie. So, trying to protect that quarterback is number one job of offensive lines and the number one goal of most teams in the National Football League, because it's a quarterback-driven league. You got to protect your quarterback. I'll tell you what, it looks to me like the addition of Yeldon as a running back has helped the running game considerably, and that has made Blake Bortles even a better quarterback. And multiple touchdowns in two or three of the games already played this year. He's on a tremendous pace. He's also a mobile quarterback. You know, when I saw him in the preseason, I didn't realize he was as mobile as he is, but he's got a pretty good average when he has to tuck that ball under and run. So, I look forward to seeing Blake. Bortles, quarterback of the Jaguars. And I'm anxious to see how Jameis responds. And I'm guessing, but I would be I'd be disappointed if he didn't forget about last week's game in which he threw four interceptions and fumbled a center exchange snap in a driving rainstorm, I might add. Because Jameis Winston, when he has problems and he has a bad game, comes back and generally plays his best football. That's what I'm trying to say. I think Jameis will play his best football of the year this coming Sunday against the Jaguars. We'll just wait and find out.
Gene, he didn't have many bad games in Tallahassee, though, to
choose
from.
No, he didn't. He was 26-1 as a starter at FSU.
That's incredible. So
he's 1-3 as a starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the amazing thing, JP, is that the one win, the one victory that he has was against the old nemesis, the New Orleans Saints, and Drew Brees, who had won 7 in a row as a quarterback for the New Orleans Saints against Tampa Bay. And we go to New Orleans and notch victory number one in the Jameis Winston era. It was a tremendous win. It's a shame we could not build on that. I thought we had a great chance to knock off the Houston Texans the following week. We just could not get it done. And that was even with the addition of Mike Evans. Mike had missed the first two games. Our leading receiver a year ago set franchise records with a dozen TD catches, set obviously rookie records. And he had a hamstring issue throughout preseason, did not play in the Titans game, played very, very maybe 3-4 plays in the New Orleans game. And lo and behold, he comes in and plays the majority of the minutes in the Houston game, targeted 17 times, only made 7 catches. And I think that the absence from practice and playing in the preseason affected his play. He said in the Wednesday locker room press conference that, hey, it was on him. We should have won the game. If I had played better, we'd have beat the Houston. We'd be 2-1 going into that game last week against Carolina. By the way, Carolina's pretty good. I know Jacksonville's played Carolina on opening weekend, and the Bucks played Carolina. But, you know, every team looks good if you turn the ball over 5 times.
That's very fair. Gene Deckerhoff is with us. The Bucks are running the ball, too. Doug Martin is off to a really good start. Why has that run game been so effective early?
Yeah, Doug finally got that 100-yard rushing game that had eluded him for a couple of seasons. And in the preseason, he showed flashes of what he did with the football as a rookie, when he was among the league leaders in yards from scrimmage. He set a Buccaneer rookie record for most yards, set a record for most yards ever in a game when he rushed for 200-plus against the Oakland Raiders, and a rare victory over the Raiders by the Buccaneers his rookie year. But then injuries took its toll. You know, he's not the biggest running back of the league. He got pounded on and pounded on and pounded on, missed about a third, a little bit more than a third of the season his sophomore year. And then last year, obviously, injured most of the year, tried to go, couldn't go, played hurt, and then was put on injured reserve. And not the Doug Martin that we saw his rookie year. And he's starting to look like that rookie running back that the Buccaneers drafted out of Boise State. Now, bear in mind, this is a contract year, you know, 4 years, and then the next year is an option by the team or the player. So I bet you'll see the best of Doug Martin this season. If he can stay healthy, he'll be a big key in helping Jameis Winston find receivers open and win football games.
Funny how that works in a contract year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Sometimes.
You got to have that run game. You have to have the run game. And you look at both not Florida State, but Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got single digits on the running touchdowns. The Bucs have had single digits, 5-6 touchdown runs in a whole season for the last 3 years, since Doug's rookie year. And if you're not scoring touchdowns on the ground, you get that red zone, and they know you got to throw. It's just tough. I mean, you're going to end up throwing picks or settling for field goals. So you got to get that ground game going. And I think the Bucs are going in the right direction. I know that Jacksonville is. That draft pick out of Alabama is pretty good.
Gene Deckerhoff is with us. Let's go on defense for the Bucs now. Levante David's leading the way in tackles. Of course, Gerald McCoy is still the force on the defensive line. What do you make of this unit on defense, and what's their personality right now?
Well, in year two of the Lovie Smith era, that Tampa 2 defense is starting to, starting to come around. Last year, I don't think we had the right personnel for the Tampa 2. I'll never forget the preseason game in Jacksonville, JP.
Yes.
We had some linebackers in there trying to play that Tampa 2. They'd never played the thing, and I mean, we couldn't cover anybody with a linebacker. And that's been addressed. And this Quan Alexander, I know you talked about Gerald McCoy is the face of the franchise. The fans in Tampa love him. He plays 100% whether he's hurt or he's not hurt. He's got a shoulder issue. He's been on the injury list. He's limited participation week in and week out. But he plays with pain, and he shows up and makes splash plays. He had a couple of splash plays. Had a sack last week and another couple of quarterback hurries. The guy is just you got to double team him or he's going to get to your quarterback. And I think most offensive coordinators realize that and plan ahead for that. And what Lovey has done now is he's got some speed at the edge. And this Jacquees Smith is coming into his own. He's tied for the lead in the NFC. He's second by a half a sack of being the NFL leader in sacks. He's got four, albeit he had two of those in one game. That was the game in New Orleans, plus a couple of quarterback hurries. He may have been credited with a third sack on that. I had him for two on my chart.
Right.
But he has given, and I'll tell you, William Golston is a defensive tackle slash end that played inside last year. They've moved him to outside because of some injuries and because he's playing so well. You got to get him on the field, and he has given us quite a big plus at that left end opposite Jacquees Smith. And say, when Gerald McCoy is double teamed, one of those two guys should get a shot at a quarterback. Linebacker Quan Alexander is the story of this season so far. He is a rookie out of LSU, and he compliments Levante David tremendously. This defense is still young, getting better, and is going to win some football games down the road for Lovey.
Gene Deckerhoff, the great voice of the Buccaneers, is with us. What is the expectation from Bucs fans this year? What are you hearing? And this is a kind of a game that can propel both of these teams. You know, each team's 1-3. The Jags win. They're back home against Houston with a chance for 3-3. Same for the Bucs. You know, 1-3. They can get a win to maybe turn their fortunes a bit here. What's the expectation if the Bucs can win this game?
Well, the Bucs have not won a home game since 2013, and the Jaguars have not won a road game since 2013, if I've done my homework
correctly.
And that means something's got to give this weekend, don't you think?
That's true. That's true. Something's got to give.
I'll say this about Buccaneer football fans. We had a tremendous turnout for the opener against the Tennessee Titans, a tremendous turnout. And despite horrible weather conditions, we had a great crowd for the game last weekend against the Carolina Panthers, and I fully expect a huge crowd for Tampa Bay versus Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville will travel well. It's a it's a state rivalry game. You don't think about that in terms of National Football League because there's not that many states that have multiple franchises. Yeah, but this is in-state bragging rights for the NFL team on the West Coast or the NFL team on the Atlantic Coast. We'll find out who wins. And already Jacksonville's got a leg up. Jaguars beat the Miami Dolphins, so they already have bragging rights on the Atlantic Coast side of the state. Let's see if the Buccaneers can figure out a way to hang on to the football, find receivers that will make catches, and find a way to stop Yeldon's running and Blake Bortles' passing.
Maybe the state championship's coming to Jacksonville this year, Gene.
Do they make a trophy for that? I don't know.
I don't know if they do. Gene Deckerhoff is with us. You're a Jacksonville kid, of course. I mean, you're what, raised here in Jacksonville, right?
So yeah, is it, yeah. And every time I go north to broadcast a basketball game and there's 6 inches of snow on the ground, particularly Blacksburg, I think of, because there's always snow on the ground up there when you go up there in January or February, I say a little prayer, and I thank God for having my dad transferred to NASC Sophia, which is no longer there, by the way.
Yeah.
And then he also did a stint at NASC Jacksonville, and my mother put her foot down in 1956, and she said, "Mo, that was my dad, Emerson. Mo, you can stay in the Navy and travel around the world, but we're raising our two sons here at Jacksonville. I'm forever thankful for that and the chance to go to Forest High School, play basketball, get a basketball scholarship, meet my wife in Palatka when I was down there playing basketball for the Vikings of St. John's River Junior College, and it's been a tremendous story. That got me into the radio announcing business. I did weekends as an announcer at WWPF and moved over to that city along I-75 and got a job at WGGG in Gainesville and gave up the spin on the records, went to work for Southern Bell Telephone Company in Jacksonville. So I got a lot of ties in Jacksonville, Florida, and then left to go to Bradenton, changed occupations, peddling groceries for General Foods Corporation, and we're expecting our third child, needed to moonlight, so I went back in the radio business and started doing sports, and the rest is, as they say, history. So, yeah, a lot. I grew up in Jacksonville, played Little League basketball. I was a basketball Jones. I had a little Vespa motor scooter. I went all over the city. Drove across the Matthews Bridge on that little Vespa scooter, which is scary. I can't believe I did that.
Wow.
I wouldn't do it now, I promise you. But I carried a little chain net with me, and I put that net up, and we played basketball till it was too dark to see, and enjoyed every minute I had growing up in Jacksonville. Going to the beach, fishing, down in St. Augustine, Matanzas Inlet. I'm a Northeast Coast guy, my friend.
Gene, what were some of the records you were spinning at WGGG?
WGGG, I'll tell you what, the hottest thing going at WGGG was any Beatles song that came down the pike, and I remember the Dave Clark Five, and there was this group that was made for TV called the Monkees, and, you know, Daydream Believer, things like that. I played a lot of hits. I played GGG had a CBS affiliate. We had the CBS News package, CBS Sports package, and you had Arthur Godfrey, stood out his radio show in the morning from Hawaii or something like that. And then at night, because it was a college town, we had rock and roll music, so I spun the hits. And, third class endorsed tight board. That was what you put on your resume.
Gene Deckerhoff is with us. Okay, best Bucks game you've had in your career?
Well, obviously the Super Bowl 37. Yeah. And I did a no-no in that game. It's the third quarter, and Derrick Brooks picks off a pass and runs it back. The second touchdown interception return of the game. And I think it was about our fourth pick or fifth pick of the ball game. And he's running down the sideline. Coach is jumping up and down. And I say, the Bucks are going to win the Super Bowl, and it's only the third quarter. Then all of a sudden, Oakland came back and scored a couple of touchdowns. I said, "Whoops, I'm not supposed to say that," you know. But it held true, and the Bucks prevailed. That obviously has to be the highlight of my NFL broadcasting career, because you don't win championships that often. It's tough to do. And I remember in 1999 when the Bucks played the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, and we took Tony Dungy's Tampa 2 defense up there, and it looked like a baseball score when the thing was over for the NFC Championship. But they made one more play than the Bucks did, and they made it to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. And we're getting on the team charter. I'll never forget the look at Rich McKay, our general manager at the time. He's now with the Atlanta Falcons, president of the Falcons. But Rich McKay and I said, "You know, Rich, we're going to have the same team next year. We're going to have a great shot next year." And he looks at me and he shakes his head. He says, "You know, Gene, the window is so small in the National Football League. You don't get this opportunity that often. It's that tight of a window." And he says, "We may never play for another NFC championship while I'm alive." Well, we did, but it wasn't the following year. It was 2002, 3 years later. But he put it in perspective. When you get that shot, by golly, you better grab it, because you may not have many more opportunities. That's the highlight. The NFC championship went over Philadelphia. Rondé Barber picks off the pass and returns it. That clinches the game. And then the Super Bowl, we had 1 week to savor that victory. They had to go. Nowadays, you get 2 weeks. 1 week, go to San Diego and beat the Oakland Raiders. It was just a tremendous week to be a Buccaneer. I'll never forget the plane flying back as we taxied into the terminal at Tampa International Airport. I don't think every fire truck, but the majority of the fire trucks had the hoses up, and we went through like a Niagara Falls of water hoses, and it was a tremendous victory celebration back at the stadium. I'll never forget it as long as I live. That has to be the highlight. We've had some other great games.
Sure.
Any game that Mike Allstott was involved in where he just pounded the ball in, Allstott of the gut, touchdown Tampa Bay, 62-yard field goal. Matt Bryant, who's kicking now for the Atlanta Falcons, he'll probably kick there forever. But he kicked a 62-yarder on the final play of the game to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. That stands out as one of the all-time greats. There's just a lot of them. I've broadcast 448 Florida State games, and I could pick out 10 games that are my favorites. Any win over Miami, any win over Florida. And there's some other big wins in there. Wins over Clemson have become huge. Win over Alabama and Jacksonville.
Yes.
Went on the road at BYU. Those are things you never forget. But I've done 500-plus county preseason games for the Buccaneers, and the ones that stand out, championship games, very obviously. And I've been a part of a franchise that went from worst to first, and now all of a sudden we're back down to that worst level, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised we're back in that first place shuffle pretty soon.
Gene Deckerhoff, the great voice of the Florida State Seminoles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's always good to visit with you, and we certainly appreciate your time, and good luck on a busy weekend.
Yeah, okay, Noles and Hurricanes on Saturday, and obviously Bucks versus Jaguars on Sunday. Good Lord willing, Creek don't rise. I'll be able to broadcast both of them. And, you know, I always look for that perfect quinella for me. That's a win over whoever Florida State's playing, and a win by the Bucks over whoever they're playing. That's the perfecta weekend for Gene, the sports machine.
And like I said before, the state championship's coming to Jacksonville, so hold your horses there, Gene.
Yeah, take a picture of that trophy and send it to me.
I definitely will. We appreciate it, Gene.
Okay, JP. Good talking to you.
Our thanks to the voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Gene Deckerhoff, for his time on a very busy week. The Jaguars and Bucks kick off at 1 o'clock Sunday at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Radio coverage starts at 10 a.m. with the Publix tailgate show on 1010XL in Jacksonville. And Jaguars Radio Network coverage starts at noon with Countdown to Kickoff. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on the Shadrick Siding Podcast.